Hello, and welcome to Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew, a show where two friends crawl through a river of bad movies and hope to come out clean on the other side.
Welcome to Cheese Flicks, the podcast where Logan and Andrew review the cheesiest movies out there.
Hello, hello, and welcome.
Alright, so this week we're going to be covering a movie that was available on Netflix called Bounty Killer. This is our, hopefully, the rebound movie from that horrific David and Goliath fiasco. That Heather was solely responsible for. Thank you again. Heather. We rebounded pretty well, I think.
Yeah, this is a great movie. Lots of fun.
Yes, tons of fun. This was based on a comic book from Kickstarter Comics, which I wasn't able to see if that was like affiliated with Kickstarter, like the crowdfunding website, or if that just happens to be the name of the, like, an independent comic book company. But it definitely feels like it, because some of the, like, the costumes and the just like the general feel of it definitely very over the top. I think the best way I can describe this movie is it is a combination between Mad Max, Fallout 4, a live action Archer, and
28 Days Later.
I don't know. Yeah.
I guess it really is zombies necessarily, but it's definitely like a post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. I mean, like, some of these parts, I actually was like, man, they almost, like, just felt a lot like Mad Max. I think that's kind of the most similar, just because of the sort of desert setting, the car chases, and, the main character, Drifter, definitely looks a lot like Max from Mad Max, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So, was there anything you want to talk about in the beginning before we start going through the?
Yeah, I mean, this movie kind of hit everything I like about cheesy movies. I mean, it didn't take itself too seriously. It was low budget, but not poorly done. I don't know if it was low budget necessarily, but it was definitely, you know, it wasn't necessarily super polished like you would see in like a blockbuster film, but. You know, the actors weren't really well known, but they did a great job. I recognize a few of the people. Gary Busey's in it for a few scenes, which is fun. I really thought the movie was, you know, just a action packed, you know, fun movie. It wasn't too serious. Never really took itself seriously, but I think overall it was really, really good.
Yeah, this was, I think my top note was, this is clearly a movie that was made by 13-year-old boys for 13-year-old boys, because it has everything that they would love. It's got...
Yeah, if you would open up my, like, notebook from high school of what I drew, it would probably be something along the lines of this.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's guns, it's action, it's, you know, beautiful women and scantily clad clothes that don't make any sense for the jobs that they're doing. You know, car chases, explosions, like just gratuitous sex and violence.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely got accused of picking this because of the cleavage on the front cover was what Vanessa
No.
It's like, no, I just, it's called Bounty Killer. It looks like a good movie.
Everyone likes, I mean, it's like Boba Fett, maybe. It might be like cool Star Wars-y thing.
So, yeah, I guess with that, do you want to go ahead and get us started with the intro to the movie?
Oh, yeah. So we start off the film, and I think my favorite part of the intro was that, you know, they're in an elevator. There's two characters. You don't really know who they are. They haven't really introduced them yet. But before that, is it starts with some of the credits. You see like a post-apocalyptic landscape, and a Just Chorizo production pops up or whatever. Like, I was already kind of like giggling at this, at like the entry of like, you know, the text and everything because of the name of that production company.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. Just Chorizo.
Good. But the, yeah, so the camera angles were all over the place in that first scene. They get into a, they're going up an elevator. There's obviously some kind of party going on in this building, filled with rich business people that are, you know, wearing yellow ties and wearing the goofiest suits I've seen in a while. It's like shiny fabric, I think, was the guy that that was like talking. We find out that he's actually a bad corporate dude that has a bounty on his head, and these two people in the elevator were bounty hunters, and or bounty killers, I should say, just like the title says. And he goes, and the businessman tries to get a drink at the bar. Turns out it's got a little crumpled piece of paper in the drink, and he spits it out and finds that it's, oh my gosh, it's his bounty, and they're here. And it started off great because I'm already like, oh, there's a fight scene in the first like 10 seconds of the movie, and it's the most, it's not even like a believable fight scene. I mean, the guy is obviously some kind of, you know, desk jockey business guy, and he pulls out two like
dual
1911s or something, and he's pointing at the bar like, show yourself. Everyone's freaking out, and then this woman appears from behind the bar, and I forget what she says, but she's basically like has a little bit of a dialogue all of a sudden. I'm like, why isn't he just shooting her? Like, right. And then the other guy that was in the elevator with her shows up with a shotgun to the side of this dude's head, and he's like, you know, time to die, motherfucker, kind of thing. And then it kind of devolves into a fight. It seemed like, you know, everything was kind of zipped up and ready to go at that exact moment. It could have gone so much smoother. But, of course, it turns into a ridiculous firefight.
Well, because Drifter, the guy with the shotgun, forgot to load his gun.
Oh, that's right.
He's supposed to be, like, this world-renowned, like, the longest kind of, as we'll come to find out, like, one of the most celebrated bounty killers that there are, and he doesn't load his gun before a fight.
Yeah.
So he's got this guy point blank range with a shotgun, and just click, and the guy runs away out the door and towards the rooftop, where he puts on
a sweet jetpack.
His jetpack to fly away. That is when I knew this movie was going to be a winner.
Yeah, because that's of course the only way to escape a post-apocalyptic gunfight is by flying away in your super, and it looked so ridiculous. The Rocketeer's jetpack looked more futuristic than this futuristic rocket pack. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
this looked like the jetpack from the whatever James Bond movie.
From like the 70s or 60s. Like, this was like someone strapped a couple file of cabinet cans to your back. You know.
I also liked in the party that you know, these businessmen were having their big party, and they had like holographic strippers.
Yeah It was like a go-go dancer or something, like, and they like zoomed in on it, you know?
Which I didn't
look at how cool.
I don't know,
go ahead.
I didn't get that. I was like, why would you have holograph, like, why wouldn't they have either real stripper, like, what's the point of a holographic stripper?
Because you can maybe like put your own song on a playlist or something. I don't know. I want you to dance to my favorite song. I guess you could do that with a real stripper, too. I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't really make sense, but they definitely highlighted that, like, holographic technology in this movie, because that's not the last time you see it.
No. So the fight gets taken to the rooftop. I don't remember. I think somebody shoots the jetpack, or somehow they disable it. Was it the girl, Mary, she gets... wait a minute.
Yeah, it's like she's trying to take the kill from Drifter or whatever. Because I guess you don't know this at the time, but he's like, wait, don't go without me. And she runs up to the roof and shoots a bunch of the guys, and then she gets in a fight with one of the henchmen that she didn't see, but she's able to pop a few shots off at the guy they're after, and it like disables temporarily his jetpack, but then she gets almost tossed off the side of the building. But then of course Drifter shows up at the last minute to grab her arm, and just as the bounty guy is about to fly away, he pulls the shotgun out of her out of her back satchel thing and just blows his head off right before.
Like, clean off.
Yeah, it just explodes. Like, and he's, like, you know, 20 feet away, so it doesn't make any sense, but maybe they're slugs. I don't know.
Yeah, and then Mary lights up her cigar, which she had actually tried to light before in the bar when things kind of went bad, so. And that's kind of the opening scene, and then we go to the, like, a voiceover to kind of give us some backstory of the world that we're dealing with. And so this is a dystopian future where corporations sort of overtook governments and started warring between each other. And eventually, sort of the voice of the people formed the Council of the Nine, which formed to try to overtake the corporations. And they're the ones that have issued all these death warrants for the white-collar criminals. And the bounty killers are, so there's lots of bounty killers that are out there kind of competing for these bounties, for the money. And then they're also kind of treated like celebrities. So, you know, like, when they get back, when Drifter and Mary, who I don't think we've said, her last name is Mary Death. So it's Mary Death is her name. So their names are, there's not a lot of subtlety in this movie. It's pretty much all
over the top.
Yeah, like, we're going to hit you in the face with this. Drifter's a guy on his own, and Mary Death is just a girl who, like, really, really likes to kill people.
And she really eats up the spotlight. Like, she plays the crowd. That's, like, her, one of her things, is she's got, like, her car is, like, super sweet looking, and it's got, like, her painted on the roof to, like, yeah, you know, kind of in, like, a, like, they painted the ladies on the old, like, war planes and the, in the old days and stuff like that. One thing I wanted to mention about the intro that you were talking about with the voiceover and, like, kind of the, you know, here's where the world is in this day and age, was, like, there were cartoon parts of it, and I'm like, why is this all of a sudden animated? But that makes sense that it's, like, it's from a comic book, and I'm like, oh, okay. Because I'm like, I don't get, I mean, I can understand, you know, maybe budget or whatever, but I mean, I don't think animation's necessarily cheap, so it's like.
No, yeah, that was definitely surprising to have that kind of mix in there. So when they return to collect their money, this is when we first get to meet. I just kept writing him down as the caddy. I don't remember his name.
Oh, it was Jack.
Jack. Okay, that's right. So Jack is this guy who kind of meets Drifter, and all he says he wants to become his gun caddy, and he swears. Jack is like, Drifter, I will be the best gun caddy you've ever seen. I will caddy them guns better than any. And you don't really know what that means, but he's like, I'll caddy assault rifles and shotguns. And they literally mean him follow Drifter around with a golf bag full of guns.
Yeah. But, I mean, and this guy, I mean, I hate saying this, because I don't hate saying it, but he looks like a short Eric Wareheim from that Tim and Eric show.
Yeah.
I was like, is that not him? And then it was like, oh no, it's not. It's a totally different guy.
See, he's kind of the comic relief. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
He is, but I say that, but there's so much other funny stuff in this that to say it's just him would be wrong.
Yeah, but he definitely played, you kind of find out from the beginning that he's playing this role of almost like kind of how C-3PO was in Star Wars. Like, he's experiencing as if the crowd were experiencing it, and he's kind of the storyteller of what's going on. Because he's always, like, the one to make, like, overarching comments on how things are tied together and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's, I liked his character a lot.
Oh, yeah, I think he was probably my favorite out of all of it. And some of the quotes he had throughout were some of the best. But he's, like, we'll find out a little, like, he's terrible at his job. Like,
yeah.
The first time you see him caddying for this guy, they're kind of riding a motorcycle side by side, and Drifter's calling out the names of guns, and he's supposed to be throwing them to him, then catching the other ones, and he's, like, totally missing them, so the guns are just going tumbling into the desert, and then he's, like, throwing them off, and Drifter's not able to catch him. So it starts out he's not that great, although in the end everything comes together for Jack. I did like, I don't know if you noticed this, that Jack never actually does fire a gun throughout the whole movie. Like, he is in the middle of these firefights just reloading guns and passing them to people.
Yeah, well, I mean, he definitely almost seemed like a pacifist, because there's several scenes in the movie where he just, like, doesn't even want to hurt anybody. But in the times he does, it's almost like an accident. And, like, yeah, you know, physical comedy.
I almost feel like this character was, like, written for a child to play it. Yeah. That, like, it should have been, like, a 13-year-old kid who was, like, idolizing these bounty killers, but he's, like, a 35-year-old bearded man.
Yeah.
And then something I want to talk about. I want to talk about Mary's costume a little bit.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So she, and it kind of makes sense with this sort of branding. Like, she's got her own brand as being Mary Death, and you know, she's on magazine covers, and like, it's kind of surprising because everything seems to be totally in shambles, and yet there's still like printing presses to have magazines distributed. but her costume is kind of like a mostly white, very tight, low-cut leather, like, suit.
What almost reminds me of Lana from Archer.
Yeah, a lot like that, with leather, and, like, she's got, like, the garters on with, like, the high stockings and all that. Yeah. You know, this is what a bounty killer should be wearing instead of, like, Kevlar.
it's like the adult nurse outfit for Halloween or something, you know? Like, it's gratuitously sexualized.
Right. So yeah, they go to collect the bounty of these guys that they killed, and the guy that they collect the money from is kind of giving them some shit for bringing the guys back without heads on. Just, I guess, the obvious problem of knowing that they're actually turning these people in, or they are who they say they are. Let's see.
I guess so you kind of have this scene where they're at, like, the turning in the bounties, and I think they also kind of talk about the gypsies at this point. Like, you see a couple gypsies, and they're like, they have like clown paint on, and they're like kind of savage.
Yeah, they kind of they're kind of almost like a combination look style of like a motorcycle gang with that sort of like sugar skull, like Mexican face painting type stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But like even darker, like very like kind of like white and black.
Yeah, I wrote them down as like the Insane Clown Posse motorcycle gang.
Yeah, so they're this group that are kind of out in like the Badlands, kind of. They talk about the Badlands a couple times. They don't really tell you where they are specifically. But the gypsies are sort of this tribe or threatening group that's out there.
And it's clear that everybody's afraid of them. Like, they have a very bad reputation as being just, like, psycho killers with any, you know, with no morals. And they'll murder you in your sleep and steal your baby or whatever.
Right, yeah. So, Drifter, you know, Mary and Drifter kind of go their separate ways for the moment. And shortly after Drifter leaves, a new death warrant comes out for Drifter.
Yeah.
So Mary sees this.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's not making any sense, and she's pretty pissed, because these things are only supposed to be issued for, like, white-collar criminals.
Right.
So Mary kind of goes on a chase to track down Drifter, hunt them down, really. You know, at this point, Drifter doesn't really know that this has happened quite yet. Let's see, and then Mary gets stopped by a guy who shows up. This was kind of a random scene that it didn't quite make sense as to even why it was in the movie. Because she gets stopped by a guy who's real, he's like a corporate looking guy, and he wants to sell Mary a condo.
Yeah. It's a really weird scene, but I guess it's like, you do see, like, there's some like, what do you call it? Like, man, I'm brain farting right now, but there's like a scene where she's at that butcher shop turn in place where there's somebody's watching her with like a sniper scope and is like, if she doesn't join us, then make sure she's dead or something. So I guess that's who these guys were, is like this is where you kind of learn about the main bad guys in the movie, which is the Second Sons, I guess, or the Second Son Corporation.
Yeah. So this guy's trying to pitch Mary on buying this condo, and she's not really having any of it. So she, like, her car, she was fixing her car, so her car's up on a jack, and she basically knocks the guy down and drops the car onto him.
Yeah.
Which pins his arm underneath the tire. So her henchman kind of comes out and...
his henchman.
The salesman guy.
Big
guy gets out of his car, and we got another little fight scene, but Mary pretty much makes quick work of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of almost like super brutal violence in this movie, and this was no exception.
No.
There's the guy who's trapped under the car gets like whipped with a chain, and it like cuts into his head almost. There's like a blood explosion. And then doesn't she blow the other guy's? Oh no, she slits his throat with her cowboy boot. Heels, because she's got those what are those called, the spurs or whatever, and she like slits his throat with a wheel kick to the neck. Yeah. I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah, that was overall the effects of this. Like the close up stuff, the gore and like the blood and the cuts and the wounds on people were like, and the choreography of the fights, like hand to hand fights, was really good for a movie of, you know, that would have a budget like this. The only time that the effects kind of start to waver was sort of the bigger scale stuff, like cityscapes and some of the sandstorms, the
Badlands.
Yeah, like that stuff didn't work quite as well, and I mean, kind of obviously why. I mean, they don't have the money to do the, you know, super high end CGI, which is what you would need to pull off something like that. But the makeup artists and the practical effects and the fight scenes choreography in this was really, really well done. So Mary catches up with Drifter and kind of confronts him on what's going on. And Drifter kind of at first sort of denies it and just says he wants to go to the council to appeal the warrant. Which she's like, that's crazy. They're just going to kill you as soon as you get there. No one's ever appealed one of these before.
No worries. It'll be fine.
Yeah. So he kind of blows her off and just kind of runs away from her, you know, which does not make Mary happy. And you would not like Mary when she's mad.
Yeah, she definitely has this like temper tantrum thing that's in the movie where they're like she's having one of her temper tantrums. Stay out of her way.
Yeah, and her temper tantrum is to like stab someone, like stab Drifter.
Yeah,
because that was one I thought it wasn't at this point when he like she stabs him and he's just it reminded me of Shrek where he's just like you cut me real deep.
Yeah,
literally just stabs him in the gut. It happened, I mean, twice in the movie that I remember. Once kind of in the middle, and then once at the end when everything, you know, is coming together. It's like, that sort of thing is like, stab you in the gut and then run away.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely, the pacing of this movie gets weird at certain parts, and this was another one where, like, they meet up in this scene that I guess is going on right now, is they're meeting up at this Drip Rock bar, which I guess they're looking for, Richter or Drifter's old friend or old, you know, I guess they're calling him his informant, who was a bad guy, but not like a big bad guy. So he was considered like a small fish in a big pond or whatever. And he gave Drifter information that he could use to get the bigger guys. But now this guy had a bounty and they found him already dead. And they get surrounded by the yellow tied corporation henchmen, which I guess is a thing. They don't really mention it. They do mention the corporations are bad, but like everybody has a yellow matching yellow tie.
Yeah,
that's how you know they're a bad guy.
If you know that you're wanted on a death warrant, would you really go around dressed in like your uniform that identifies you as being someone who's wanted on a death warrant?
Again, I guess this is just, you know, because this is a comic book and it's only stylistic. I mean, it's the same reason why Mary Death has that ridiculous outfit.
Right.
You know, it's just for the stylist of it. You know, it's cool that these guys all have yellow ties because now you know who the bad guys are. But they, you know, they get into a fight and there's lots of, you know, gun fights and cool flips and kicks and knife to the head moves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it goes straight from that to like a weird romantic scene. And it's like, or before that, I mean, it was before that. It was before the fight happened that, you know, she's like, she finds Drifter in the room, like sitting by himself. And when you're talking about that, he's going to turn himself in. And then it starts like, they're going to make out. And it's like, what? Like, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense at all. But hey, I'm not here for the
14-year-old boys loving every minute of it.
Yeah, of course, that's what you do right before a gunfight is you kiss your lady. And you, I mean, there's like guys walking around all over outside, but got to get in those smooches, you know?
Exactly. See, after Drifter and the caddy kind of run away from Mary, they stop for the night and then get kidnapped by the gypsies.
Right.
So they wake up and they're tied kind of back to back on a pole in this gypsy village. The caddy guy, Jack, is freaking out, saying, you know, they're going to eat him. And Drifter's like, basically, he just says, calm down. We're just going to wait until the morning, because they're all going to get drunk tonight and they're going to be hungover, and that's when we'll make our escape.
Yeah, and then that gives a perfect time for a great background story flashback.
Yep.
There's a scene here where they're tied up and the queen of the gypsies wants to know where Nuri is, and you know you don't know, as the audience, you don't know who the hell that is, and Jack, the guy who's the caddy guy, doesn't know either. And he's like, who is this woman? Do you know who she is? And then, there you go. I think you can jump into the flashback.
Yep. So, yeah, that kind of leads us into the flashback of Drifter explaining how he knows this Nuri that the gypsies are convinced he knows of. And so we get to a flashback, which is Drifter laying in bed with two hookers.
At the, was it the Drunken Beaver or the Thirsty Beaver or something?
Thirsty Beaver. Oh, yeah. That I literally, like, I was cracking up out loud when they showed the sign, like this neon sign, Thirsty Beaver, with sort of that, like, poor, like, motion that neon lights will do where there's, like, multiple yeah. sets of lights, which was just a beaver pouring a drink into his mouth. I want a t-shirt that says Thirsty Beaver.
I know, they should probably sell those at, like, you know, every, you know, bar stop or whatever. Like, anywhere there's a, I don't know, if it reminds me of something you'd find down in, like, Gatlinburg. You know, like.
Yeah. So this girl, Nuri, breaks into the room where Drifter is with the hookers and puts
like
a knife
ninja.
Yeah, like a ninja. She's pretty good already. And basically says that she wants Drifter to train her as a bounty killer because she's already heard of him being sort of the best that there is. And then we get into continue the flashback in a training montage where Drifter is, you know, training her how to fight. You know, they're fighting back and forth, putting her through obstacle courses with like live ammo and stuff like that. And you kind of start to tell that they're kind of starting to fall for each other. And then also slowly through this montage, her Drifter makeup is slowly starting to come off.
And yeah, it had like that Dia de los Muertos face paint on. And now it's, you know, now she's back to her original self.
Who you now know is Mary.
Yep.
So Nuri changes her name to Mary and then decides to add Death as a last name. And the two of them are basically like a team. And so they kind of show them, and they're like a couple months go by of them tracking down these bounties and wiping guys out. I think that's when the scene where she first stabs him because, you know, he looked at her the wrong way, I guess.
Mm. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to happen in the post-production, but you all of a sudden started sounding like a Transformer. It's not ruining anything, but it sounds kind of cool.
Oh, that was where there was a thing that came up on my screen that said, like, connection loss reconnecting for a second.
Oh. Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
Hey, technical difficulties, folks. It's the future, and the apocalypse is here, and there's no internet. There's only the, gypsies. Apparently they are, you know, as old as time. Even in the future, they'll still be here. But yeah, so she's training with him, and then after that's all said and done, she's married Death, and it's obvious that they want to, I think they you know, they start off as a great team, you know, they're the dynamic duo of bounty killers, and they, you know, no one can stop them, and, you know, they're in love, and I don't know if they're in a relationship at this point or not. They don't make any sense because and then finally there's like this weird scene where like she's cuddled up in his arms and they're like looking at the sunset and Drifter's like, well, you know, I got some money saved up. We can just get out of here, you know, start over. And then, of course, the most logical continuance from here is she stabs him in the pancreas or something and then drives his motorcycle away and leaves him to die in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, I guess she's afraid of commitment.
Well, I mean, that's extreme. That's not even afraid. That's almost like I want to murder commitment.
It drives you into a murderous rage.
So she just totally drops his ass in the middle of the desert and drives off. And I'm like, oh, okay. And that's the end of the flashback. And then we're back to the camp and it's morning time now.
Yep. And just like Drifter predicted, everyone's hungover and they're able to escape.
Yep.
So he's able to
The most hilarious, goofy car thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. And this is where Jack has, I think, which was my favorite quote in the movie. He says that he just kind of like stops for a second. Like, you know, just completely stops what he's doing and Drifter's kind of like, what? And he just says, I'm stealing a stagecoach from a bunch of savages with a wanted criminal, moonlighting as a bounty killer who has the hots for a murder deranged gypsy. Like he just like totally stops and just does like a recap. And Drifter's like, well, dreams really do come true, kid.
Holy
and
then, fuck.
And Jack says, I never stopped believing. Yeah. And then they drive off into the distance.
Dude, this is, I don't mean to interrupt again, but this is like a bizarro thing because your voice is now like echoing and it just got really weird. Like every time you would speak, it would say it twice.
Oh, God.
All right. So, yeah, but that's what happens is the, and they're on, in the car that they're on is a, what is that? Is it like an Airstream camper that is, they called it a stagecoach. And instead of horses, it's three motorcycles. that makes sense.
Yeah, this definitely reminded me a lot of, I actually didn't think of this. It's like, this reminded me of Mad Max, like Fury Road with the whole, like the war rig, the big semi with all the armor. And especially with this next scene with the guys chasing them. But this movie actually came out first. Like, I know it didn't come out before all the original Mad Max movies, but it came out before Fury Road did.
Yeah, and you could definitely tell there was a lot of this scene especially. So, you know, they all run off. And, of course, these people who look like the people from Mad Max jump on all their, you know, ragtag hodgepodge vehicles and give chase. And it's a, you know, very Mad Max-esque. I mean, they're in the middle of the desert. They're driving fast down a dusty open area and they're shooting at each other and throwing makeshift grenades and bombs at each other, trying to kill each other. I think at one point you see the one woman on a motorcycle who has a battle axe made out of a stop sign. But that's kind of the climax of the scene. But then there's like a funny like fight scene inside the Airstream when one of the gypsies tries to plant a bomb inside of it because the, you know, Drifter's up on top of the thing shooting at everybody and he doesn't see one guy jump inside the bus. So it's up to Jack to save the day. And he is a real clumsy fighter, that's for sure. But he's able to finally defuse the bomb after it's all said and done. You know?
Yeah. So they kind of make their escape and Drifter comments that he thought it was a little too easy, which befuddles Jack to even think that what happened was easy. And he's right. The gypsies kind of let him go because they're trying to chase down or they want to follow him to figure out where Nuri's at. So then we kind of catch back up with Mary, who gets to a bar and meets with an old friend, Lucille, who did you recognize Lucille?
No.
It was the actress that plays Chevy Chase's wife in all the Vacation movies.
Oh, okay. Wow. Did not notice that at all. But then again, I mean, I haven't seen that movie in forever either.
So yeah, Lucille kind of resupplies Mary, gives her a new suit, which is identical on the outside. It's the same like leather suit, but it has a metal chest plate in it.
Finally, some practicality.
Yeah. Right. Still no pockets.
Yeah, you don't need pockets. Well, she's got like a bandolero for her knives and like a little pouch for her sawed-off shotgun on her back. Right. But that's basically it. There's no other like utility of this whole suit. Maybe it's I can't imagine it's extremely comfortable.
Yeah, and then Mary kind of laments to Lucille that she has to go kill Drifter now, which I'm like, no, you don't. Like, just because they have a warrant doesn't mean you have to serve it. You know, you could just go kill somebody else. Go do another warrant. She's like, for whatever reason, is convinced that she now has to go kill Drifter. So Mary leaves, and she's going to go try to find a map to get her through the Badlands and this big dust storm in order to find Drifter. Meanwhile, Drifter finds his old friend Jimbo.
Mm-hmm.
Jimbo, the guy who played Jimbo, he's been in a bunch of stuff. He was one of the head nurses on ER.
That's where I knew him from. I'm like, this dude is so familiar.
Yeah, and he's been in a ton of stuff. A bunch of small parts in movies and television. I mean, he's one of those guys that, like, you definitely would recognize, but never really been like a big star, like a main lead character or anything.
Yeah. Also, did you tell about the car that she gets from the lady? I forget.
Oh, it's like that kind of like tricycle thing. Earth tricycle.
And that's what she's going to drive through the Badlands. That's what I think. That's what was so funny is you know her. Her solution to driving through the Badlands, which turns out to be literally like a permanent hurricane surrounding a destroyed city, is driving her scantily clad outfit wearing a gas mask and an open motorcycle through all that. But whatever.
Right. Back with Drifter, Jimbo is a guy who kind of makes a living, like, basically helping smuggle people through the Badlands. And he initially doesn't want to help, but Drifter is able to convince him by giving him a six-pack of PBR.
Hey, man, that stuff's worth a lot in the future. It's worth nothing now, but in the future, that's going to be like handing over $10,000 in cash.
That's weird. As soon
as it's delicious, it's refreshing, it's slightly alcoholic.
You started echoing now.
I did? Oh, no! It's the Robo episode.
Robo.
Robot Logan and Andrew review a movie.
Bleep bloop. You know what'll be hilarious is if it doesn't sound like this when people listen to it and we just sound like a couple of crazy people.
I hope that it does, though, because the way you just said that, it sounded like three of you were saying it. So, like,
oh, great!
It's not bad. It's not enough to derail the whole thing. I mean, I can still understand what you're saying, so it's not like.
All right. Well, we'll press on. they chase through the sandstorm, or they get chased through the sandstorm as Jimbo's driving them. He's loving it the whole way.
Yeah.
And again, the effects on this, the sandstorm stuff doesn't look that great, but the car-to-car action and stuff like that's all pretty good. Mary finds herself at a, I just wrote it as the Badland cartographer's home.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was like, so she finds, so she jumps out of her car and finds her motorcycle, and finds that there's a scout from the gypsies that are, they're looking for her, and they know who she, you know, they know that she's here and they're coming for her, and she all of a sudden finds magically of exactly what she's looking for. That's the only thing is, like, she obviously says that she doesn't know where she's at, but yet she knows exactly where to find a cartographer, and then is okay with removing all of her weapons before entering the, you know, the shop.
Yeah, that's what I was confused. I didn't know if she was seeking this guy out or if she stumbled upon him because she got lost.
Yeah.
But either way, yeah. So she gives up all her weapons and to get in with this guy.
And she doesn't have any money. But and this guy doesn't speak at all. He's just drawing on his map and grunting at her. And obviously wants some money to for her to get a map to find her way out of this place. But then she she says, I don't have any money. Maybe you can work something out. And I'm like, oh, no, it's going to go that place. but then it's where I think the movie was kind of funny, because this guy looks like, you know, somebody that would be like, I think we can work something out. But it turns out he's actually a big fan of her work. So then he pulls out a few posters for her to sign, and they're able to make a deal that way. And then she's also able to get a map, I guess, to find out how to get from the Badlands to the council.
Right. Yeah. So then we get back to Drifter, who with Jimbo make it out of the sandstorm. And Jimbo's super excited because he just completed this journey in a personal best for him.
Record time.
Yeah. And as soon as they get out of the car, they start getting shot at. So they're both kind of ducked behind the cars, and they're trying to figure out where the shots are coming from. And the caddy says, 600 yards? What's that, about a 9-iron? And so he reaches into the hole, I guess, where the 9-iron would go in the golf bag, and pulls out, like, some kind of rifle that he has. But that wasn't the only one, because earlier in that, he says something about a pitching wedge. He's like, what's the pitching wedge? And he hands him the grenade launcher.
Yeah. But it turns out it's Mary. That's who's shooting at him.
Yeah, who still having a temper tantrum.
Apparently still pissed off. I'm going to go with you to the council, or I'm going to kill you. One of the two. And if you get to the council and it turns out you are guilty, I'm going to kill you then too.
So yeah, she needs to work on her like options of, you know, coming up with different options, because she resorts to violence so quickly. So they kind of work it out. She goes back down there and they head as a group to the council, and find that the council's all dead.
Yep.
At this, I was kind of like, okay, so where's this movie going from here? Because there's still like a half an hour left. And yeah, the whole plot of the movie just got ended because they're all dead. So the corporation guys show up, you know, I guess they're the ones that killed the council. And they take the group into custody. And Gary Busey shows up with his boss, who's this woman who we now find out used to work with Drifter.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of dun dun dun.
Yeah.
Drifter was in fact one of these white collar criminal guys.
Yeah, they do a little bit more backstory where, you know, Drifter's like, oh, of course I knew that something was wrong with the council because they knew I was a business person, and, you know, they actually invited me to be the 10th judge on their council, but I refused and became the first bounty killer instead, because I needed to get out and, you know, do work. And you get like, oh, okay. And then you find out that the first guy they killed in the beginning of the movie at the business party was one of his business partners, and that this woman who now shows up, and since she can't wear a yellow tie, she's wearing yellow heels. Her name is Catherine, and she's the leader the leader of this evil corporation that's been hunting everybody down. But yeah, it doesn't look good for him.
Well, and you also find out that this Catherine is Drifter's ex-wife.
Oh yeah, yeah, that too. And then, yeah, then there's of course the lover's quarrel of, why'd you never told me that? How dare you? It's like, I was gonna.
Oh yeah, Mary's definitely gonna stab him over this. Like, she's saving that one. She'll get him later. So the gypsies show up and kind of mess everything up.
Yeah, Mary. That really confused me because, yeah, the Insane Clown Posse shows up and starts, you know, basically shooting everybody. And I was like, oh, they're here to save the day. And I still hadn't actually, because you don't, this is something that you don't find out until now, but this whole time I thought that the gypsies wanted Nuri or, you know, Mary Death back in their clan. And that's why they were like hunting her down, is because she was like, you know, maybe, I thought maybe she was like the princess or something, or some real important person in the group. Well, then it just kind of, because without skipping a beat, so once they're free and not the good guys, you know, our heroes are free, they start killing the gypsies too. And I'm like, wait, and then they just rescue you? But then you come to find out that in fact it's the queen of the gypsies wants to kill Nuri and or Mary Death, because I guess that'll, you know, prove that this new queen, I guess, and then you kind of, I guess, find out that Nuri was the queen before, and the new queen is like, if I kill you, that'll prove that I'm the strongest. And then there's like this weird cage match fight. Everyone's got guns, but they got to do it hand to hand, I guess.
Oh, yeah. This is the big kind of climax of the film in terms of like the biggest action scene. And Jack the Caddy kind of finally gets his shit together and is doing a really good job reloading the weapons and tossing them around.
Yeah.
For people to use. But in the end, Drifter gets taken by his ex-wife, so he kind of gets thrown into a helicopter, I think, right?
Yeah, it was like a hilarious... Well, that's the thing. It was a hilarious, like, MASH helicopter, you know, like, from the 70s, like, this giant... What are those things called? Yeah. It were like, you know, from, like, the World War... not World War, but the Vietnam War kind of thing. And because I immediately was thinking, like, is this all of a sudden going to, like, you know, Apocalypse Now or something? Like...
Yeah,
I love the smell of napalm in the morning, boys.
But so Mary defeats the gypsy queen, literally kicks her head off,
and there's it was a
fountain out of her neck.
Gruesome display.
it was awesome, but too late to save Drifter, so she's kind of freaking out,
and she's got a knife in her gut, like a big ass knife. It's like right up in her stomach.
So she's freaking out about finding Drifter, and Jack just, like, straight slaps her across the face to get her to snap out of it.
Yeah, well, because I think the scene ends with her, like, looking that she's a knife in her gut, and I guess it kind of cuts to her, like, blacking out. And when she wakes up, she's got a patch. She's been patched up, and she's in some kind of tent being cared for, and... and then, you know, she starts freaking out. She's like, how the hell are we going to save him? There's no way. We have no, you know, guns or no one to help us. And then, lo and behold, no. You killed the gypsy queen, so now you are the gypsy queen.
Yep, so now they got some backup. And the caddy was able to detain Gary Busey so they can use him as bait to try to get the Drifter back. So now we get to see where Drifter is at. He's tied to a chair. He's now been clean shaven, and they've got him in a brand new suit.
Yeah.
And he's there talking to his ex-wife in sort of her office, her costume had changed. I thought it was just kind of funny because she had now still had the yellow shoes, but she was in like a pantsuit with a jacket, but like nothing on underneath the jacket. And then we get to sort of the final action scene as the two of them are talking. You see, so Catherine's kind of got her back to the room in this kind of all glass office, and Drifter's able to see out into it. So he sees Mary comes in, so he's just kind of trying to keep his ex-wife talking. And apparently, this is like the best soundproof room ever made.
Yeah.
Because Mary goes on just a kill crazy rampage, blowing people's heads off. So there's gunfire. There's like blood being like looks like people are taking buckets of blood and throwing them at the glass.
Yeah,
as it's splattering.
And not to mention that there's no way a few stray bullets wouldn't straight up hit that office. You know what I mean? Like it was ridiculous but fun because you know they also filmed it in a way that you're from. Drifter's perspective. So it's silent. You just see like a door get kicked open and there's gunfire and blood splatter everywhere and people are screaming and papers are going everywhere. But all you're hearing is the dialogue between Catherine and Drifter. I thought that was a really cool way they shot that.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Mary kind of busts in and they take out, she kind of like knocks Catherine out, doesn't actually kill her at that point. They untie Drifter and, Drifter and Mary, you know, they kind of start kissing, and Drifter says in like a real kind of, I don't know, like a romantic voice, is like, you got a gun for me? And Caddy, Jack just butts in, is like, nope, but I do.
And it turns out it's like this crazy ass, like World War II machine gun.
Yeah. So he says, nope, but I do. As like, so do you guys want to keep on smooching or go shoot some people? Yeah. And not surprisingly, they decide to go shoot some more people.
And there's another nice violence montage of them walking through the office complex, battling all of the evil corporation people. And there's, you know, it's kind of, and also they brought the Insane Clown Posse gypsies with them. So they're all up in this business too, attacking and killing everybody.
Yeah, so and then so the ex-wife rejoins the fight. She actually gets a shot on Mary. So Mary goes down. You don't know, you know, where she got hit exactly, but it doesn't look good. Drifter, in just like a rage state, seeing that, just blows his ex-wife away with a shotgun. And not too much of a surprise, they go rushing to Mary's side, and the round caught the metal chest plate that she got from her old friend at the bar, so she's fine. And that's pretty much the end, but before we get to the very end, we have to have a completely gratuitous sex scene.
Yeah, it was like, what are they doing up there? They've been up there for weeks.
Yeah, it's just a sex scene between the Drifter and Mary back at their like home base. You know,
while Jimbo and Jack are fixing a car up. Like, that would just be weird and awkward. Like, oh, hey, we're fixing your car. What are you guys going to do? Oh, we're just going to go bang like crazy up here for a while.
Yeah. And then to
don't
end the
mind us.
To end the movie, Mary kind of comes running out of the bedroom and like jumps in her car and drives away to like go back hunting bounties, I guess. And Drifter comes out and she stabbed him again.
Oh, yeah. Damn it, woman, you cut me deep again. Roll credits.
Roll credits. So that is Bounty Killer.
Yes. Wonderful pick. I feel like that was exactly the kind of movie that we're trying to review here. Something that isn't too well known, but is a lot of fun. I still think I liked Wolf Cop a bit better than this, just because that, I don't know, they were just a lot more cohesive, but I still gave this a solid 4 out of 5 cheese wheels. The only reason I took away from it is because for me, there were so many times that either shit didn't make sense. Like, and I mean, not, and I don't mean like, I gave him a lot of credit for like the story, everything like that. But when like decisions were made, I'm like, I just, even in this ridiculous movie, that doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know, but it wasn't too bad. And I really did enjoy it. And, definitely recommend it. Go out and watch it on Netflix. It's streaming now.
Yeah, so I give it a 4 out of 5 as well. I think the acting fell a little flat. And then sort of the big scale, CGI didn't look so good. I think they probably just should have avoided trying to do that kind of stuff. It would have looked better overall. We talked a little bit about some of the cast, but Drifter, Matthew Marsden, has also been in the new version of Rambo, Resident Evil, Black Hawk Down. The lady that played Mary hadn't done a whole lot. She had a small part in Crazy Stupid Love and was in an episode of True Blood. The director of this directed several episodes of That 70s Show, The Office, and Entourage. So he had a kind of a lot. And that, I guess, looking at the overall quality of this movie, it's not surprising that they had somebody with a lot of really, you know, high quality credits to his name. Yeah, I think it kind of shows through in the final product.
Also, the queen of the what are they called? The gypsies was Eve the rapper.
Oh, really?
I didn't. Yeah. So, you know, they definitely had like people that, you know, people could recognize, and Gary Busey was in it, obviously, and it's like, even though that was another thing that kind of let me down, and probably another reason why I gave it 4 out of 5 stars, I was really looking forward to some Gary Busey goofiness in this, and he just wasn't in it that much. He had a couple scenes, and I mean, I guess that's the thing, though, is when you find out that this was filmed in 18 days, maybe they just didn't have enough for him. But it's like, I would have made stuff for him to do, you know? Like, I would have.
We got Gary Busey.
Unless he was like super expensive or something, like he was the most expensive of everybody, but
I can't imagine.
That doesn't make sense. You could probably give him some like Slim Jims and a beer or two, and he'd be like, "Yeah, let's do it."
See, just the overall over the top, like the whole gun caddy thing, like with the golf bag. I love that. Like that's just hilarious to me. I think Jack is probably my favorite character out of the whole movie. And another quote that he had at the end. Jimbo kind of gifts him one of his PBRs for all the good work that he did.
Yeah, and he saved his life.
Yeah, so he cracks it open, he drinks it, and he says, "Oh, that tastes like boobies."
Oh, man. So, yeah, great choice. What was your favorite quote, or was that it?
I think that was probably it. Either that or the one earlier with the car where he just kind of stops the action to describe exactly what's going on to his amazement.
Yeah, I mean, if I could give up the line, the writing for his character was my favorite. The line, I guess, that I really enjoyed was the ending line of just, "You cut me deep, woman, again." Like, it's just so corny, and it just fit this idea of a cheesy movie to a T, because it's like he's like, what do you expect?
Like, yeah, you're literally just going to stay with a woman who stabs you repeatedly.
And it's the most ridiculous line ever. Like, he doesn't talk like that at all, their whole movie. Like, he doesn't talk in these weird, like, emotional, you know, feelings or anything like that. But only when he gets stabbed in the spleen or whatever, he's like, you got me deep, woman, again.
Oh, yeah. So this, I loved it. So what's up next?
The next movie we will be watching, I closed the friggin' tab because it's a weird name.
Shit. Man, our professionalism is just...
This episode is falling apart at the wheels.
Right as you said that, you start sounding like a robot again.
Why not? The next movie that I picked is... It seems very, very... interesting, and as far as our hang on one second, I got it up right now.
As you stall, because you can't
stalling. Okay. Hang on a second. Okay, it's on Netflix, starring Wesley Snipes. While he was dealing with his tax fraud issues, and it was apparently filmed in Namibia or Africa, because apparently he fled there to avoid
prosecution.
But the movie is called Gallo Walkers. All one word. A mysterious gunman inherits a curse that ensures each of his victims will come back to life as a member of the undead in this zombie western.
Nice.
1.5 stars. Rated R. Apparently it was filmed in 2006, didn't get released until 2012.
Wow. So a 3.6 on IMDb. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So
Gallo Walkers. I've never heard of this.
Yeah, I don't know if there was, maybe it was released in theaters. I don't know. doesn't look like it. But the fact that Wesley Snipes is in it, I was like, damn, that can't be cheap, you know? Like, he's not like a no name person at all. I mean, I know he fell on hard times for a while, but it's still a name
everybody. Yeah, I wonder if he was like, if you pay my back taxes. Yeah.
I'll do whatever it is. Just
please let me come back to America. All right, you got anything else?
Nope, I'm done.
All right, well, thanks everybody for listening. I hope the audio issues weren't too unbearable, or that we sounded funny as robots. I'll take that.
Robot Logan loves your audience members. Robot. Contact us at CheeseFlix on Twitter, or please contact us at hello@cheeseflix.com via email. I like that.
Bleep bloop.
Well, here at last, dear friends, on the shores of the sea, comes the end of our podcast. Go in peace. I will not say.